image of ourselves to enormous proportions, and many of us are beginning to realize that we don't like it. We discover ourselves to be beings that are hostile to the environment and that are bent on dominating it to the point of destruction. That we don't feel at home in the universe. We feel that our skin, at the very least, is a boundary between a palpitating, sensitive consciousness that's terrified of what's outside the skin and terrified of a good deal that's inside it, like bacteria and cancer cells, weak arteries, cholesterol, what have you. So we have this strange thing that Lancelot White called the European dissociation, the feeling of oneself as a prisoner, involuntarily so, in a hostile world that does not give a damn about our egos. And therefore, when news comes from all about, whether it be from the Orient or whether it be from experiments with psychedelic drugs, when news comes that this feeling of our own existence may be a hallucination, people prick up their ears and would like to know, is there some other mode of consciousness which one can be in, which is not this alienated mode? Because we feel, I think many of us, very, very strongly, that if there is such a place, we would like to be there. That, of course, entails difficulties. But this is the starting point of the fascination for yoga, for Zazen, and also for the Taoist forms of meditation, which are much less known. So we have discussed this matter, and we feel that there can be an approach which does not insult the dignity of interested Western adults. Oh, some people love to have their dignity insulted because they think it's good for them, because it's going to subdue their egoistic pride. But nothing is more egoistic than the project of subduing your egoistic pride. And you will work on it, and the more you work on it and get uptight and stiff, the more your spiritual bulge increases. So in the Taoist doctrines, there is a principle called Wu Wei. Wu Wei is the principle of not forcing in anything that you do. Now we know when we watch any performance of an artist, be it a dancer or an actor or a musician, we know immediately when the performance is forced. And we say, it doesn't ring true, it's too artificial, it doesn't seem to be natural. Many people who study the Taoist doctrines think that Wu Wei means do nothing, in the sense of laissez-faire, be lazy, always be passive. It doesn't mean that. There is a time for action. For as Shakespeare knew perfectly well, there is a tide in the affairs of men which, taken at its flood, leads on to fortune. The drift of things. Get with it. Wu Wei is the art of sailing rather than the art of rowing. In other words, this is saying Wu Wei is not a matter of cultivated passivity or even of cultivated spontaneity, because there are people who think that they are released, that they have realized that they are the Tao, as all of us in fact are, or that you are, to put it into Vedanta terms, every one of us is the Brahman, the eternal self of the universe, beyond all description or classification or thought. And say, okay, baby, I'm that. Now I'm going to have a ball. Well, what kind of a ball do they have? Well, what they do is they look up the rules on which society runs and do the opposite. Well, that's still running by the rules of society. I mean, it's the mirror image in reverse. That's not spontaneity. You have to be able to realize that you don't know what you really want to do until you are very quiet and it tells you. So, would you please check your ideas and opinions at the door? All your philosophical and religious views, all your logic, because I say check it at the door advisedly, because you can pick it up again when you go out if you feel unsafe without it. I'm not trying to argue you out of your opinions and views. I'm merely suggesting that for the sake of an experiment, you temporarily suspend them. And view what is as if you didn't even know how to talk. Red is not red, blue is not blue. Hard is not hard, soft is not soft. Male is not male, female is not female. There is just this jazz. It will not be possible to compel yourselves into this way of looking at things, because what Buddhists call habit energy is going on. And as I talk to you, you will find yourselves thinking in a compulsive and habitual way. This is red, this is green, this is something, this is nothing, this is solid, this is space. All right, but treat those thoughts that are going on in your head in exactly the same way as if they were... See? That's all they are. Like shapes in the spray as the sea breaks on the rock. Now, please don't get agitated that this is an anti-intellectual point of view, that this is undermining the value of logic and reason and so on. We'll bring all that back later when we need it. But just for the time being, let's simplify. Close your eyes. Listen. What is? What do you really and truly, honestly, hear? Don't name it. Just as if it were music. Classical music. Can you hear the past? Can you hear the future? Can you hear the listener? Where do the sounds come from? Ears alone, please. Look, Mama, no hands. Let them tell you the truth. You may be talking to yourselves. Don't try to repress it, as I said. Just disregard it. That happens. It's like an itch. Really listen. Dig that sound. Now, that's the easiest way to begin into meditation for most people. We're all different, of course, and there are different things for different people's temperaments. But I find it simplest to illustrate it by hearing without comment, so that you can get into tune with what is. You can't really get out of tune with it, but we don't know that yet. Maybe some of you do.
Sounds True presents Leave It Be, Session 8, Zen and the Art of the Controlled Accident with Alan Watts.
When the mouth wants to speak about it, words fail. When the mind seeks affinity with it, thought vanishes. Sun and moon cannot illuminate it completely. Heaven and earth cannot cover it entirely. The deer hunter doesn't see the mountains. The miser doesn't see men. Last year's poverty was not real poverty. But this year's poverty is poverty indeed. The angels find no path on which to strew flowers. The heretics, secretly spying, find nothing to see. Last year's plum and this year's willow, their color and fragrance are as of old. At the limits of heaven, the sun rises and the moon sets. Beyond the balustrade, the mountains deepen, and the waters become chill. He sees only the winding of the stream and the twisting of the path. He does not know that already he is in the land of the immortals. A lot of people think that the spontaneous or completely natural life, as it's understood by these Far Eastern philosophers, is to act according to whim,
There was, for example, a great Zen monk who lived shortly after 1000 AD, who had a very peculiar way of painting. He had long hair, and he'd get very drunk on rice wine. Then he'd soak his hair in ink and slosh it all over the paper. Then he would do a Rorschach test on it and decide what kind of a landscape it actually was, and then put in the finishing touches. And suddenly, out of this apparent mess, a great landscape would be evoked. But the whole art of the thing lay in putting in the finishing touches. And also, there's a very curious thing. If a person who is untrained in painting makes a mess with a brush, it's liable to be just a mess. Whereas if a person who has the feeling of painting in them for a long time, and they make a mess with a brush or just do anything, it looks interesting. And that's why if you try to copy the best people in modern abstract, non-objective painting, you'll find it's a very difficult thing to do. Because there is more to spontaneity than caprice and disorder. And I want to try and explain what that is. I mean, wouldn't it be great if we could live absolutely on the spur of the moment? Not make any particular plans, not feel that... you might make plans, because you can make plans spontaneously. But not to worry about whether you had made the right decision, whether you were being good or bad, selfish or unselfish, and not to hesitate in anything, you see? In one of the great applications of Zen, as I pointed out, was to the art of fencing. And when you learn fencing, you see you have to learn to be spontaneous, because here of all places it is true that he who hesitates is lost. If you're engaged in combat, you see, and you stop to think what sort of a defense or attack you ought to make, the enemy's got you. So the way they teach people spontaneity in fencing is very interesting. When you start in to fencing school, you of course live with the teacher. He has a kind of ashram. But you're given a janitorial job. You clean up, you wash dishes, you put bedding away and things like that. But while you're going about your daily business, the master surprises you with a practice sword, which is made of four strips of bamboo rather loosely tied together. And he hits you with this, surprisingly and suddenly, from nowhere. And you are expected to defend yourself with anything available, with the bedding, with the broom, with the pots and pans, just anything, defend. But the poor student never knows when the attack is coming, or what direction it's coming from, and he begins to get tense. And he begins to go around everywhere on the sort of alert, you see, watching which direction it's coming from. And as he goes down a certain passage, feeling that the master is probably lurking around that corner, and he's all set to go for him, he suddenly gets hit from behind. So eventually, he gives up. There's absolutely no way of preparing for the attack. And so he just wanders around feeling, well, if it hits, it's going to hit. And then he's ready to begin fencing. Because if you prepare for an attack from a specific direction, and it comes from some other direction, you have to withdraw from the direction in which you had expected it, and send your energy in another direction, and that takes time. So what you do is, you go around with a mind of no expectation. That is called mushin, or munen. This is a very important Zen expression. Mushin, it almost means an empty mind. You could also call it no heart, because the character shin means both heart and mind, but it